Word of mouth.
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 Well, that's it.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Rebecca Lavoie, in for Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, a landscape designed by power and paranoia. There are 750,000 abandoned concrete bunkers dotting the nation of Albania. We'll talk to the photographer behind a book that tells their story and reveals that country's shift from east to west with a fresh lens. Plus, a new app lets people come together in prayer. We'll hear about a startup that's using a high-tech tool to deliver religion to the palms of smartphone users' hands. And Internet Sherpa Brady Carlson joins me for Here's What's Awesome, his latest roundup of viral trends, shareable memes, and Internet stories worth talking about. But first, telepathy in the lab.
Our minds are merging, Doctor. Our minds are one. I feel what you feel. I know what you know.
That's Leonard Nimoy, of course, as Mr. Spock in Star Trek, transferring his thoughts into the brain of Dr. McCoy. Impossible science fiction, right? Well, maybe not. Recently, we came across a story about scientists creating telepathic rats in a lab at Duke University. On the line from London to tell us more is Douglas Heaven, who wrote about the experiment for New Scientist magazine. Douglas, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. Hello.
Okay, so as I understand it, this creation of telepathic rats involves putting electrodes in the brains of two groups of rats. Can you explain the groups and how it all worked?
Yeah, sure. So as you say, two groups of rats. One group were called the encoders and one group were called the decoders. Beforehand, all these rats were trained to press a lever, like when a light went on above the lever. If they pressed it, they'd get a little reward, some water or some juice or something. And then they were split into these two groups, as you said, and then only the first group, the encoders, were shown the light, and the second group were given no sort of visual cue at all. But they were still able to press the correct lever using the brain signals transferred down a wire from the first encoding set of rats.
How accurate was the telepathy between the two groups?
Well, I think it got up to around between 60 and 70%. So this wasn't sort of foolproof, but I mean, that's really significant. It's way above sort of just trial and error. I think sort of the best group, after they sort of got a bit used to it, were up to sort of 72% of the time. And there are also improvements, like as the rats got used to the setup, they performed better. I think the rats that were encoding the signal, in a way, almost, when I spoke to the lead researcher, he said that they perhaps concentrated better because when their partner rats got it right, they were given an additional reward, which sort of encouraged them to encode their signals better, if that makes sense.
It does. They were encouraged to be more telepathic.
Yeah, exactly.
So the thing that I found so fascinating was that it wasn't even like proximity mattered. It wasn't the rats were even in the same lab. At one point, they had rats that were very far apart, right?
Yeah, that was one of the crazier aspects. I mean, that was just to demonstrate that, as you say, these don't need to be close together. I mean, they sent it between a lab in Brazil with one rat up to the university in Duke, just over the regular internet, which is nuts when you think about it.
This isn't the first time animals have been implanted with these kinds of electrodes. Monkeys, their brains have been wired to control robots, for example. But is this the first brain-to-brain connection?
Yeah, it is, in terms of actually having electrodes implanted and you know, the signal from one brain going directly into the second brain. Yeah, it's the first time.
You wrote about the reaction of the scientific community to this work. How are other researchers reacting to it?
Well, to be honest, it's quite mixed. I mean, it's a crazy experiment, and it captures, you know, everyone's imagination, and you know, the Spock reference is right on. But you know, some people think this is really great and an amazing sort of scientific breakthrough. Others, you know, a little less sure of the sort of the immediate benefits of it. I mean, in a sense, you do have to put your hands up and say, you know, what does this show us, and what was the point of it? I mean, I think some people have even been as critical as saying, you know, this was just a stunt and it gets great publicity, but, you know, what's the use ultimately?
Well, you do write about the possibility of humans being connected maybe to insects or animals for maybe military sort of live animal drones sort of.
Yeah.
But anyone think that maybe we could someday be able to transmit more abstract thoughts than just pulling a lever or navigating through a rat tunnel?
Yeah, well, I personally think that's a real possibility. And some of the people I spoke to think that's certainly where we're headed. I mean, at the moment, it's relatively crude. Even this is an amazing scientific achievement. You know, no one's done it before. But we still don't know what the content, if you like, of these brain signals are. You know, we saw some pattern appear in one rat and we sent that over to the other rat. So we're not sort of deciphering it, but we're learning every week. We learn more things and we get better at understanding exactly what is going on in the brain and how that might relate to, you know, things like abstract thoughts. So some people I spoke to certainly think that, you know, one day it'll be possible to transfer these kinds of things.
Douglas Heaven is a reporter covering technology and biomedicine. He wrote about some incredible research at Duke University creating a telepathic connection between rats for New Scientist magazine. Douglas, thank you so much for joining us.
No, you're welcome. It's a pleasure.
We've posted a link to his article on our Facebook page, as well as that clip from Star Trek we played earlier. That episode, of course, was Mirror, Mirror, so technically that wasn't the Mr. Spock we know and love, but rather his alternate universe twin. You know, the one with the goatee.
I shall not waste time with you. You're too inflexible, too disciplined once you've made up your mind.
You're running a big risk, Spock.
I have the phaser, Captain, and I do not intend to simply disappear, as so many of your opponents have in the past.